we're back with What's Ailing America, where today is the zombie apocalypse continued. During that long break, I tried to get back on the remote access link for the station, and amazingly, Firefox is not letting me on either of my computers, but I was able to reload my Gmail. So if any of you have any comments or questions, please Gmail me, drcarly@gmail.com, and I will read whatever you have to say on the show. This is really getting ridiculous, folks, but we continue. Okay, so I want to also mention, as I was talking about this Ray Brawl live rabies virus that they're dropping along with vaccinia virus, I strongly encourage all of you to monitor any outside areas that your pets are exposed to, so that if they drop this on your property or any place you go, you can get rid of it before your pets eat it. And of course, you should not pick it up without gloves, as you don't want to get vaccinia infection. And that's very important. As a matter of fact, I have a large backyard at the house that I rent, and every day I go out there and scour the area just to make sure there's not any poisoned food or any packets of rabies virus or any other thing that some psychopath may think of to hurt my wonderful pets. Okay, the next thing I want to mention, let's see here. Okay, yes, who? The WHO. There is a link in that post that Sheldon put up for me where you can actually read a document about the WHO having a conference this fall on dual-use research. What is dual-use research? Well, what it is basically research where they're creating bioweapons that can be used for good or malicious purposes. And that's how they actually describe dual-use. It refers to research that can be used for both good and malicious purposes. Now, what good purpose is there for creating a bioweapon? You know, their excuse is, well, we know some other rogue nation is doing it, so let us do it, and then that way we can figure out how to make a vaccine for it. That's basically, you know, the excuse that they give. But, of course, the vaccine is an inoculation with the disease, so it's totally insane. But they're going to be having one of these meetings this fall. And basically, where this stems from is, as I'm sure you heard, back in February, there was actually some mad scientists who modified the H5N1 virus to make it be transmitted more easily. And there was a big discussion that started. Should we publish how we did this? And initially, they said no. But now they're saying that most of the participants in a meeting about this controversy that they had in Geneva in February supported publishing the studies in full. Yes, let's tell the other psychopaths how we accomplished this, how we made the H5N1 virus more transmissible. But they're going to continue their discussion about this fall. And this document was actually published on May 30th of this year, just a week or so ago. And they're going to, you know, basically have scientific, public health, security communities, government agencies, international agencies invited to this conference, where they're going to discuss publishing how to make viruses more dangerous. And they want to ensure that member countries have information to respond to the public anxiety about biosafety and biosecurity issues related to the lab-modified viruses and support the continuation of responsible research with appropriate safeguards. This is such an insane statement. I mean, I can't even respond to it. You know, respond to public anxiety? Yeah, the public's getting anxious. They know what you're doing. And basically, you're going to tell them, don't worry, yeah, we have ways of making sure it doesn't escape. Of course, I already mentioned that there's the University of Miami Medical University, where they're talking about you know, combining rabies with flu virus, and funny how we now have the Miami cannibal coming up in the news. I'm sure that's just a coincidence. Now, this is actually available on a website called SIDRAP. Okay, now I have to get to my next notes. I have so much information on this stuff. It's amazing how many agencies that we have. Okay, SIDRAP. Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy. And this is a branch of the University of Minnesota. And what they do is write infection disease policy for the U.S. And, of course, they had a grant given to them in 2004 to study animal diseases with veterinarians as many diseases were crossing over to humans. Now, being delusional, having a conspiracy delusion, that immediately tells me that the veterinarians were actually helping the viruses cross over to humans. And, well, let me get into this and mention a very important show that I was sent recently that I listened to, and I heard a very large amount of very helpful information. It's the KevinSmithShow.com. You need to listen to his June 6th archive. And where did this start? At 46 minutes, approximately. He had a guest on by the name of Jeffrey, who's in the know from relations he's had with various governmental agencies, talking about guns and ammo for zombies. Now, after I did my show last Saturday, I happened to go to the grocery store. And there's another, the paper I usually talk about on my show, it's called the Charlotte Observer. It comes out of Charlotte, North Carolina. And Charlotte is one of the biggest cities in the state. And I get that paper just so I can see, what are they feeding the sheep? And that's the paper I usually report to you from. However, there's a paper in my local community. I live in Hickory. It's a, you know, town. I don't think it qualifies as a city. There's about a million people that live here. And they have a pretty much garbage newspaper called the Hickory Daily Record, which I never buy. But after the show last Saturday, on 6-2, I went to the grocery store, and I just always scan the little machines they have where you can buy the paper. And there it was, on the front page, Surviving the Zombie Apocalypse. Hickory Gun Club is offering survival course to ward off even the living dead. And it basically talks about how they're going to have a course to teach a wide range of skills, including firearm, knife techniques, self-defense, to ward off zombies. And two weapons are mentioned, the Mossberg 500 shotgun and the Glock 17 pistol. That's what they're recommending to kill zombies with. And they state that centers match out their best. Headshots aren't practical, even though that's what they show on TV. Now, I had to laugh at this because I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, everybody talks about how they're going to confiscate our guns. Now we have an excuse. Oh, I have to be ready for the zombies. But I was amazed that my local paper had this basically advertisement for the Springs Road Gun Club having a course to teach you how to kill zombies. Now, of course, in this article, they did not mention that we have had many cannibalistic attacks in the United States, especially in Florida, which apparently is a hub for the research that they're doing. I don't know if they've mentioned it in the paper prior because I don't get that paper. I just got it because there it was right on the front page. But I sidebar to that because on this show, KevinSmithShow.com, on June 6th, the guest that he had was talking about how the military and all major gun manufacturers have weapons and bullets specifically designed to kill zombies. Isn't that interesting? And there's a company, Hornady, that makes zombie-killing bullets. It's the major manufacturer of bullets for law enforcement. And he says that all gun and ammo manufacturers, in fact, have zombie products. And there's also a company that makes knives called Steel Knives for the Military that also has a zombie line. Isn't that interesting? Another thing that I did not know, which was very interesting, that Kevin Smith mentioned, is that the DEA has stated that 34 of the 50 states have had zombie attacks in the past 2 years. So, of course, you know, we're only now starting to hear about this. Apparently, they're ready to let the info out. But he's talking about how they're, you know, blaming it on the best bath salts, which are made in China. Now, he mentioned this many, many times. It doesn't sound to be really considering that it's a bioweaponized rabies virus, although he did mention rabies. But he kept on mentioning bath salts. And I'm here to tell you, folks, just because the DEA says that 34 of the 50 states have had zombie attacks because of bath salts, does not mean it's from bath salts. In fact, I would say that's probably what it's meant for. Although, like I said, they could have created this particle and combined it with the rabies virus. Who knows what these monsters are up to? Okay, there's the music. We'll be back after these messages. And we're back with What's Happening in America, and I'm going to continue with notes I took from the Kevin Smith Show, kevinsmithshow.com, on June 6th. Which was very interesting, and he had a lot of good information. And I'm getting good information from many sources and also disinfo from many sources. You know, they're confusing the people. This is what they always do. But one of the things that Kevin Smith talked about in this show was that in 2001, the Department of Health and Human Services Administration, were studying airborne rabies. He reports that it has been taken off the web, but he was able to sleuth around to find it. I didn't have time to do it before the show, but he did report that, in fact, they did report that they're studying airborne rabies, as is mentioned in the National Geographic article, that wouldn't it be terrible if this happened, but in fact, in 2001, the Department of Health and Human Services was doing this. And actually, even more disgusting, he stated that in 1956, they started working on creating an airborne rabies virus for use as a biological weapon. Now, what's totally obvious at this point is that the psychopaths that run the world are all connected. They're all involved, especially except for perhaps the Muslim countries, and that's why we're having the Arab Spring, which is being, you know, created by the CIA, so they can take one dictator and put in their puppet so that they can continue to do whatever they want to do. And I'm sure the first thing they'll probably do is put in some kind of a central bank for those countries, because the whole usury thing, you know, the Muslims don't get into that. But in fact, a biological weapon, you know, they pretend that they're creating them so that they can use them against our enemies. Well, we are the enemies. They want to decrease the population by 90%. As all of you, I'm sure, know, it's mentioned on the Georgia Guidestones, it's mentioned in Agenda 21. And so these biological weapons, in most cases, are being used on the people of the countries in which they're created. And this is very obviously happening here in the States. And, you know, the Lyme disease is a very obvious example of that, created at Plum Island and basically spread now throughout the country and even the world. And here we go now with the zombie situation. Okay, now, very interesting. One of the things that Kevin harped on, which I totally agree with him on, is that they keep using this term zombie. As I said, everybody thinks of zombies as the dead coming back to life. And no, there may be some voodoo type thing they do in the countries that do voodoo that bring dead people back to life. I mean, anything is possible, and I know black magic is very powerful, but in these cases that we're talking about, these are not dead people come back to life. These are people that became rabid, obviously, from the rabies virus. So one of the things that Kevin had pointed out is that they're using this term zombie for plausible deniability. You see, because basically, if everybody's thinking of zombies as the living dead, it's going to be kind of a joke, and, you know, a lot of people aren't going to take it seriously. In fact, one of my regular listeners actually called me this week and told me that she thought the whole thing was a hoax, that this isn't really happening. Well, it's very obvious to me that it is happening, because for the mainstream media to start reporting it and to find out now that this has been happening in 34 out of 50 states in the past 2 years, as reported by the DEA. Of course, like I said, they're disinforming us that it's assholes. But, you know, obviously there's something going on. You know, they're trying to scare people, no doubt, but there is a cannibalistic situation happening. And amazingly, Kevin was right, because as he talked about the CDC using the term zombie so they could use plausible deniability, they could say, there's no zombie virus. No, there is no virus to reanimate the dead. And in fact, on June 4th, on the CDC website, there is a document, CDC to America. There is no zombie apocalypse. And then the message underneath the headline is, after a week of bizarre crimes, the CDC would like to reassure Americans that a zombie-like virus outbreak is very unlikely. Now, of course, these are not only the same people that are creating a lot of these monstrous viruses, they're also the same people that told us that people that complain of symptoms from Morgellons are delusional. So, but there you go, the plausible deniability thing. Once you understand how these monsters operate, it's so easy to read between the lines and to see what they're actually up to. So this is very important. And as I said, using bath salts as an excuse for why people are becoming, you know, cannibals. I don't think so, people. You know, if you hallucinate, I mean, there's been LSD available in this country for many years. As a matter of fact, you know, the CIA was experimenting on soldiers with it. This was created, you know, as far as I can remember, back in the 60s. We didn't have people eating people. So I don't think this is an LSD-type situation. But I was also just sent a YouTube video by this Truther Girls group, which looked like total disinformers to me, and they're pushing this whole bath salts thing as well. Yeah, get everybody to believe that it's all the bath salts. The bath salts are the problem. I don't think so. Now, in the midst of all this horror, let me just say again that colloidal silver has never been found to have any pathogen that it does not kill. So what I would do if I was you is get your own generator, because, of course, the FDA is going after colloidal silver manufacturers, and there's no question in my mind that there will come a day where you can't buy this in your health food store anymore. But if you get your own generator, you can make it for the rest of your life. And the brand I recommend, what I use for myself and my pets, because, of course, you need to give it to your pets as well, is the Silver Lungs generator, and you can find the link for that generator on reversingvaccineinducediseases.com under the link section. Okay, so let me get into some more evidence, because, of course, no, I don't have any document. You know, they give us little clues. If you can, you know, realize how they operate, they give us little clues as to what they do. And like I said, this alleged flu pandemic scare was a perfect example. Cause the problem, create a vaccine, get as many sheep as possible to take it, then you really get a pandemic. And this is what they're doing now. Now, very interestingly, one of a few books that I have purchased, which are extremely expensive, so donations are appreciated so that I can continue my research, because the books you get from the government are not cheap. And one of the best important books in my library is called The Biology of Aggression. It's part of the NATO Life Sciences series. Let's see, when was this puppy published? I think it was in 1980. And it is, yes, 1980. one of the most disgusting books you could ever read in terms of all the experiments that they're doing to find out what causes aggression so they can control it. They can, you know, subdue aggression so that, you know, you don't have that protective response, such as when the medical devils come after your child with a inoculation full of viruses, and you don't say no, and you don't protect your child, and you let them to be injected, and then they die, or develop some terrible lifelong disease, which can be reversed, but of course, better not to take it in the first place. So they're doing that. They can make you basically docile, and then you add a little fluoride to the mix, and that's going to be even more able to happen. Or they can turn you into a rabid monster. And these are the kinds of experiments that they're doing. Now, interestingly, they don't talk about rabies too much in this book, Biology of Aggression. And it's very obvious that that must be a real deep black ops project that they didn't want to talk about too much in their natal book. But there's other information. They did note that hyperaggression and bizarre behavior, including hypersexuality, resulted from infection. And then, of course, that brings us to Africa, where we've had accounts for years of pregnant women being raped by their own people in their villages and people being burned alive and all kinds of really evil things happening. In fact, as it turns out, from another source, I had learned that one of the malaria viruses vaccines being used in Africa, the control groups for the experiment, they used rabies vaccine. Now, you can't make this stuff up. You know, when you have an experiment and you're comparing one thing to another, the control group is supposed to get a placebo, a sugar pill, something that has no effect whatsoever. But to make it real obvious to people in the know, they were using rabies vaccine as a control. So obviously the rabies vaccine is going to cause rabies, and I'm sure the malaria vaccine is causing malaria, but that was the excuse they used to give the rabies vaccine. And in this book, and in lots of other books that I have, they actually talk about the areas of the brain that are involved with rabies infection, and interestingly, they're the same areas that are pretty much involved with autism. Let's not forget the book Vaccination, Social Violence, and Criminality by Harris Coulter, one of the most important books in my library, where he talks about how, you know, vaccines like the measles vaccine can also cause aggression and criminality. So it's not just the rabies, but obviously the rabies is much more dangerous and very scary. And they're giving us some vaccines. In fact, let me get to my next document. We have the WHO reporting to us that rabies occurs in more than 150 countries and territories. Of course, in this document, they don't mention how many are being sprayed with live rabies bait packages. Worldwide, more than 55,000 people die of rabies every year. 40% of these are bitten by suspect rabid animals and are children under 15 years of age. Now, how are the other 60% getting rabies? They don't tell us that. I suspect there's a needle involved, not only with the people, but of course the 40% of the people getting bitten by rabid animals. Those rabid animals are probably rabid from getting the rabies vaccine. Because as I've also reported before in the Charlotte Observer on, let's see, April 23rd, 2011, there was an article about a rabid cat being adopted from an animal shelter, and of course in the article they mentioned how the kitten had been fully vaccinated with the rabies vaccine, and then became rabid, okay? Because the rabies virus causes rabies. But amazingly, the first tip in the rabies prevention tip was to vaccinate all animals. And I often wonder how anybody can read an article like this and say, yeah, this kitten got the rabies vaccine, ended up rabid, and actually had you know, given the virus to the woman and adopted the kitten. Of course, the shelter refused to do anything about it, no compensation, etc. It was basically her problem. But the people read articles like this and say, yeah, the kitten got rabies from after the vaccine was given. They don't put it through their minds that the rabies virus came from the vaccine. Apparently, I don't know what they're thinking. Maybe they're thinking the kitten didn't get enough rabies virus in the vaccine. Who knows? But the paper is telling people, yes, make sure to get your pets vaccinated. Okay, continuing with the WHO document that I have, wound cleansing and immunization within a few hours after contact with a suspect rabid animal can prevent the onset of rabies and death. Now, this is one of the really amazing things to me, that they are suggesting that if you get bitten by a rabid animal, you should run to your white coat and have the white coat shoot some more rabies into you through a needle. This is going to protect you. I mean, how can anybody buy this crap? It's just mind-boggling to me. In my opinion, the dog just vaccinated you with rabies. So, if you have a working immune system, your immune system should be able to protect you from the rabies. You don't want to go and get more rabies virus injected into you, because that's going to overwhelm your system. And in fact, they already basically state that once you come down with symptoms, it's too late. So people are getting vaccinated before they even know if the animal is rabid, because the only way to find out if the animal is rabid is to kill the dog and then do an autopsy and take a chunk of brain and do some studies on the brain. So they're just willy-nilly telling people to get injected with rabies vaccine if they get bitten, and this is insane. So the best part of the article, in my opinion, is that they state, every year, more than 15 million people worldwide receive a post-exposure preventative regimen to avert the disease, and this is estimated to prevent 327,000. Where are these numbers coming from, and what does this mean? 327,000 people do not get the disease. Does that mean the other 14.5 million do get the disease? They don't tell you that. But I suspect that's exactly what it means. And where did that 14.5 million people get the disease? From the vaccine. And that's why they only talk about people that are bitten. They do not tell you about the needle type source. And all the numbers are confusing anyways, but once again, you have to read through the lines. Okay. Next article. And this was actually on Glenn Beck's site. For some reason, he has decided to get into this zombie situation to some degree. And of course, he's a total minion, a Zionist lover, you know, that they even took off Fox News because he was just getting too carried away with it. But he did have an article that somebody sent me that I found very interesting. And this was posted on October 25th, 2011. The title is, Ohio Town Solicits Zombie Volunteers to Test Emergency Preparedness Plan. Okay. What's up with this? The Delaware County Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Management and the Delaware General Health District want some of its residents to die. Well, become zombies, not really die. And by becoming zombies, it means pretend to be zombies and still not really die. So once again, the whole zombie confusion thing. You know, the undead. I'm not talking about the rabid automatons. In an effort to engage its community in a hazardous materials emergency preparation exercise, the Office of Homeland Security has put out a petition for 250 volunteers to don their best zombie look this Halloween. The effort will test first responders in how they handle hazardous materials exercises, and in an attempt to maintain the realism of zombie culture, first responders who come in contact with a hazardous material will become zombies themselves. Like the Center for Disease Control, which published a guide earlier this year to survive a zombie attack, And, you know, that's Ali Khan's little creation there, who created a map depicting the state's zombie survivability rate. These Delaware County groups are using the zombie craze to gain interest and participation in their community in a more serious emergency preparedness drill. Now, you know, legitimate emergency drills, which of course almost all the emergencies that they're drilling for are emergencies that they're created. It's part of the whole disaster capitalism and depopulation agenda. But, you know, you just picture these minions sitting around and saying, okay, yeah, let's have them dress up like zombies. You know, this is insane. Why would they pick zombies? Why don't they pick people that have flu and are sneezing and coughing or whatever else? What made them come up with zombies? This is very suspicious. But the emergency management group wants to make the event fun for volunteers. Participants will get free t-shirts, and judges will award plaques to the zombies with the best costumes, best makeup, and best zombie shuffle. Volunteers as young as 8 are welcome. Isn't that special? Yeah, they're going to get a plaque. You know, just like the people who, you know, enlist into the service to become experimental lab rats and kill everything that moves as ordered by the psychopaths that tell them what to do. You know, they're going to get a reward, a medal, a plaque, whatever the case may be. It's amazing what people will, you know, do to get something from the government. Giving them an accolade is disgusting. Okay, next article. This is from ABC, published on June 7th, 2011. Doomsday plane would save president and joint chiefs in an apocalyptic scenario. And once again, what do they mention? A zombie apocalypse. Here's how the article starts out. And this is on abcnews.go.com. In the event of nuclear war, a potential meteor strike, or even a zombie apocalypse, a thoroughly protected doomsday plane is ready to keep the president, secretary of defense, joint chiefs of staff, and other key personnel in the air and out of danger. It may not deflect the Twitter photo scandal, but it can outrun a nuclear explosion and stay in the air for days without refueling. The flight team for the E-4B, its military code name, sleeps nearby and is ready to scramble in 5 minutes. It was mobilized in the tumultuous hours after the planes crashed into the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and Southern Pennsylvania on 9/11. Even though it carries VIPs, their staff, and security personnel, the plane is highly fuel efficient. It can stay in flight for days without refueling, a necessity if circumstances demanded the plane's use by the nation's top officials. Now, you can be sure that whoever the flight team is for this E-4B, they're totally mind-controlled, chipped, whatever. Because if they weren't, they would do their research and they would, you know, basically say to themselves, you know what, I think we should leave these psychopaths down there with the rest of the people to basically experience whatever they have created for us to go through. And wouldn't it be interesting how that works out? But once again, this is just one of the many things that our tax dollars are being spent on. Not to mention, as you all know, 9/11 was an inside job. You know, if you haven't seen the documentary Missing Links, you definitely need to see that, as well as I highly recommend Judith Day's book on the justification of the towers. I don't have the book in front of me. I don't remember the exact title, but, you know, this is what they used as an excuse to start the Doomsday Plane Project. Unbelievable. Okay, there's the music. We'll be back after these messages. Hey. we're back with the last segment of What's Ailing America. I misspoke during the last segment in regards to the author of the book, Where Did the Towers Go? It's Judy Wood. Judy Wood, and I have interviewed her in the past, and this is a very important book, in my opinion, in regards to the evidence of how the towers turned into dust. And, of course, false flag attacks are the MO of the psychopaths that control the world and how they continue to bring down the boot and take away all our rights and kill off even more people. And the word is out pretty much something's going to happen at the Olympics. I mean, I don't know what, but it's very interesting that they're telling everybody that they should get a flu vaccine and a measles vaccine. They want the people that go to the Olympics as spectators to get the vaccines. They want the athletes themselves to get the vaccines. They want all the personnel that work there to get the vaccine. Now, we've been discussing for the last 2 hours, you know, possible connection of rabies with influenza. We have Ali Khan mentioning measles as well. So isn't it interesting that the two vaccines they're recommending are influenza and measles? So perhaps we're going to have a major zombie cannibalistic situation happen at the Olympics. Who knows? I don't put anything past these monsters. But like I said earlier, if I was you, I would definitely be chugging colloidal silver if I was you, and of course giving it to all your pets as well. And I just want to mention, I'm doing a lot of shows about this whole situation. I did a show yesterday with Maggie Rodham, I think that's how she say her name, the unsolicited opinion on RBN yesterday. A lot of people like that show, because there's no way I can cover all these things. So you might want to check out that archive as well. Now, as it turns out, there is an individual by the name of Sherry Schreiner. Sherry Schreiner is the person who has many websites, one of which is an excellent website called the Talmud Tidbits, where you can do some research on what the Talmud actually says. She also is the one who makes the Orgone Blasters, orgoneblasters.com, which, since I put those around my property, actually I've had no chemtrails directly over the property. But she also does, you know, analysis of Bible codes. And one of my listeners reminded me that I had had her on my show some time ago. I haven't had a chance to check where in the archives it is. I think it was about 2 years ago. But on a show that I did with her back then, we were discussing what she had seen in the Bible codes about rabies being in vaccines. Interesting. So this is an old interview. Like I said, I think it's about 2 years ago. And she hasn't analyzed the Bible like many people do to find the different codes in there and found rabies in vaccines. Now, I don't remember how she explained that, because certainly vaccines are not in the Bible, although apparently when you search for the codes, you're able to decipher words that are not, you know, printed there in the regular text that everybody else reads. So that's very interesting. You know, these little coincidences just keep popping up. And I did just receive an email from one of the listeners. Sorry you couldn't call in. Hopefully we'll have this new problem where I can't even get on Firefox to get in the remote station. Hopefully I'll have that resolved by next week. But somebody just sent me an email stating that Brad Pitt is coming out with a new movie, World War Z, as in zombie. So isn't that interesting? We're now apparently going to have a new movie. Sounds like it's going to be a zombie apocalypse type movie. Isn't that a coincidence? You know, it's really not. And I'm sure I'm speaking to the choir on this one, but, you know, people, we really have to wake up as many people as we can as to what's going on, because this is such evil. And as I say all the time, people of conscience cannot even conceive of such evil existing, and that's our major problem. Okay, I also have an article in front of me from Scientific American, and it's entitled The Wipeout Gene. And it's about, I'm trying to see the date, October 24th, 2011. a new breed of genetically modified mosquito carries a gene that cripples its own offspring. It could crush native mosquito populations and block the spread of disease. And they're already in the air, though that's been a big secret. Now, if you don't think that they can make a wipeout gene for people, just like they have for mosquitoes, think again. So that's just another piece of horror that they're admitting to in the scientific, quote-unquote, literature. Okay, I have so much information in front of me. I've mentioned before, and you can find the link to it underneath the archive for last week's show on thelightofdayradioshow.com, that apparently they had some testing in Uganda. And there's an article on March 21st, 2012, that you can access on their website about the children in Uganda that are becoming what they call zombie children, which have no cure and no future. They basically start chewing their fabric restraints like rabid animals. They develop seizures and eventually become less and less like themselves. And then they die. And, of course, the disinfo in this article is they say the experts are baffled as to what causes the disease, which only occurs in children. No doubt the children who are being inoculated with disease. But their early findings allegedly suggest a problem with a black-born fly, which has a parasitic worm within it, Onchocerca volvulus, which causes blindness, acute vitamin B deficiency, never before causing to become a zombie, but, you know, that's their disinfo that they're giving to these people publishing this article, which is on rawstory.com. They have to come up with some, you know, plausible explanation for what's going on. And, let's see. Oh, the best news, of course, is, according to the CDC, onset usually takes place at the age of 5 or 6 and progresses rapidly, leaving the victim severely mentally and physically handicapped within a couple of years. Now, as soon as they tell you that the CDC is involved, that's when you know you've got a problem. And I can assure you that all of these different emerging diseases are coming from bioweapons laboratories, most of them here in the United States. And as I stated before, as I'm sure you all realize, they use Africa as a testing ground for so many of these things because it's easier to hide what's going on. And also, the people there are so poor, you know, they're not going to get an attorney or have an investigator check out what's really happening. They're just going to basically, you know, think that it's, you know, something that they have to get a vaccine for. I don't know. Okay, we're almost out of time, but I did want to mention one other thing that I have here. I think I mentioned this last week. George Fund, who has an excellent website, Conspiracy Cafe, he sends a whole bunch of different articles, and he sent out an article about whether the real zombie apocalypse has begun or is it the Black Awakening. And it talks in this article about this Black Awakening situation. And there's a researcher and pastor by the name of Russ Dizdar, D-I-Z-D-A-R, who has been talking for years about the coming Black Awakening, where ritually abused victims would begin to play out chaos programming. And so I don't know how this is being, you know, put together with this cannibalistic situation, but I had talked to this pastor a couple of years ago. One of my listeners had actually sent me his book and wanted me to interview him, and I called him just to talk to him and find out, you know, what is this about, the Black Awakening? Because I'm always confused, you know, trying to find out why is God allowing this to happen. And as a matter of fact, on my show tomorrow, I will have an individual by the name of Alexander Backman, and he's very knowledgeable about many issues, and he's bilingual, and I'm going to be doing some shows with him in regards to vaccines and autism and such, and he's also been very helpful to Kevin and Matt, putting all of his documents from the ITCFS that we talked about a couple of weeks ago in regards to them going after the Catholic Church criminals and the Crown as well in regards to killing and raping of children. He's translating those documents in Spanish because, of course, the Spanish people are being attacked and used by the Catholic Church especially as well. But on the show tomorrow, we're going to be talking about why is the evil happening. He's got his ideas. I thought they were interesting. So I'm going to have him on tomorrow talking about it. And I hope that you'll tune into that show. Because that's one thing I can't figure out. Why is this being allowed to happen? But when I talked to Pastor Russ Iskar, his answer to me was that this is the devil's time. And God has given him the right to be fuzzing all the people. I have a problem with that. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. Okay, folks, thanks for listening. And tune in next week for more from Planet Bizarro. Bye-bye.
At OrionTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
Awesome interview with Cynthia McKinney, Congresswoman from Georgia.
I am a fervent supporter.